and the process that we're going to be using to collect data measurement in the future, as well as an update on the reading recovery program. Just to refresh your memory, 4 years ago, 2009, we pulled together a reading recovery data analysis of the district and reviewed that information with you. And that information at the time had three recommendations. One is to leave reading recovery just as it is and build fidelity in the program. The second is to incorporate all the reading recovery positions into the neediest schools at 100%. And then the third is to turn the reading recovery teachers into interventionists, where they can work with larger groups of students versus four students at a time. The board chose to leave the program as it currently is, with a 0.5 position in each building and building fidelity. So as a result of that, we hired an additional lead teacher who was literate and bilingual, so that we had our schools that were covered in bilingual. We also provided more one-on-one direction for the reading recovery teachers out in the field. And then we most recently signed on to the university and other districts around us implementing the I-3 grant that was focusing around reading recovery. So this document, Lisa will kind of talk to you about where we're going in the future, but this document is broken up into a couple different components. The table that you have in front of you are the interventions that we are using in Tier 2 and Tier 3 across the district. And we met with Ms. Burke about a month ago and talked about providing some sort of a set of measurements that we will use in the future. Most of these are new interventions. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Reading recovery has been stable in our district for about 15 years. Read 180 has been in our district for several years, and System 44. Voyager, which is on the bottom of the table, is a new program that we just adopted, and we have been training teachers in that program across the district this year. And then Leveled Literacy is a program that we had in 10 elementary schools last year and are continuing that in our neediest focus schools. And then what we plan to do on the page opposite of that is to provide information on a yearly basis, kind of broken up into the table that we have there that shows reading recovery. And so I'll share with you what our data for that looks like. But this is just an overview of each of these interventions in the future. We will break up into subcategories and create year after year, so we could see whether or not the growth is happening, which is what we expect when we put an intervention in place in levels 2 and 3, and that our data is supporting our initiatives. So the program evaluation of reading recovery is on, these pages aren't numbered, I apologize, but it says literacy update reading recovery, and it has a table on it, and it's after page number 4 in your packet. Okay. So this table basically looks at the last 4 years of reading recovery data. We asked Bo to put this table together for us, and so you could see in 2008 and 9, we start out with 263 students served in first grade, and then this past year, 2011-12, we served 185 students in the program. And then we broke it down into female, male, obviously, African-American, Hispanic. Then we looked at the MMSD discontinued rate, then we compared it to the national discontinued rate. Discontinued is a good thing because it means that the student has gone through the entire cycle and the student is discontinued. 4 years ago when we presented the data in 2008-09, we had a 42% discontinued rate. We put information in place, and as you can see, we were at 28% discontinued last year. Upon further looking at this, Lisa and I were looking at some of the data today, the question was, why has this gone down? And so we looked at mobility factors of students within there, and we can present that to you once we clean up the data. And we also looked at, did we have high teacher turnover? So we know that those two things have indicated, because a teacher has to be trained for 2 years at the university before they are at the proficiency level. So we had a high turnover late a couple of years ago, and we'll present that information with you when we give you the full report of all the other areas. So Lisa's going to talk to you about the changes based on the I-3 grant and the allocations for next year for the Title I schools with reading recovery.
Consortium with with Milton, Sun Prairie, and Edgerton. So our teacher leaders do some training in those school districts, and then we actually in turn get a stipend from them because we provide the teacher training. One of the things that we did for next year is we strategically allocated the reading recovery only allocation to the Title I schools. That was part of our comprehensive reevaluation and look at how we were using elementary Title I funds and how we were providing really a K-5 system of intervention to all schools. What was happening before in schools that only had reading recovery is that was the only intervention in the building, and it was only serving first grade children. And when that happened, it was very isolating, actually, and those children weren't getting preventative intervention in kindergarten, and we weren't following up on those fragile students after first grade, so it felt isolated. We had highly trained teachers only intervening with first grade students. So we took a look at using title funds, and we took a look at how do we create really a seamless intervention program, and we're working towards that. I think by relooking at all the titles and relooking at how we allocate resources, one of the things that we talked about in management team was making sure every school had an interventionist to serve children K through 5, not just first. And most of our schools now will have a reading recovery trained interventionist. So that reading recovery trained interventionist might be full-time, might be half-time, but can serve more than just our first grade students. And I think when we look at the numbers and we look at, you know, gosh, we only served 185 in 11-12, where we served in 08-09 263, I think some of that is principals saying, gosh, I want to put my resources in a K-5 interventionist versus just a reading recovery trained interventionist. So we really looked at how to be efficient and smart with our last year here with the I-3 grant commitment and how to really give each school the flexibility to serve both preventatively and in an intervention way K-5 students with a highly trained interventionist.
I also think the reason why some of the numbers might be have gone down is another point that we did in trying to gain fidelity is we started hiring centrally. So we had a team of principals as well as central office staff hire new reading recovery teachers. And what we found is we didn't get an applicant pool that was trained, and so therefore they couldn't become reading recovery teachers unless they went through the training. And we had budgetary restraints on how many people we can train. And so the allocation was there, but we didn't have the mechanism to train as many as we could have. And so then they were being used as interventionists working with different grade levels instead of just first grade.
What questions?
Arlene?
Yeah.
Arlene.
Thanks. I have a question on the last page, the literacy data update. Is this the same format we're going to get the System 44 and the Read 180, just the single page evaluation?
We had talked about that, and maybe Mary can address that. We hadn't really concluded as to what format we are going to have for all of them, because System 44, we get reports from the company and they're broken out each school, and we can't manipulate that as well because it's a report from the vendor. So I would say no to that question, but we will give you the data of all schools, and it does disaggregate the data also.
Yeah, because without any comments, I mean, you just made some very, very good comments, Lisa, to different things. This doesn't really tell us anything. And so if we're going to be focused on you know, providing more data or reports, it would be helpful to have, I guess, something a little bit meatier that at least has
like
some of the
editorial. Does mobility play a role? What is the rate of turnover of teachers? Various things like that? Would that be helpful?
Let's see. Well, and I'll comment on, because we had a meeting on this, and in fact, I didn't even, at one point, I didn't think we were going to have it on the agenda because there basically isn't a lot of, there isn't a lot of data. And so there's not enough data for us as a committee or as a board to say, do we want to make, you know, significant changes in this? So what Andrew had said is that you know, to look at each one of these programs, as you mentioned, READ 180 or System 44, and be able to have the type of information for a board to make judgments on whether we think this is a good allocation of resources, they would like to put on a schedule of, you know, maybe doing one of those a year. That would then tie into also some of the data that, I mean, there is a lot of data from on READ 180 and System 44 from the vendors, and so there is significant data on the impact of it. But in order to have it be an overall view of the district, they feel that that's something that they need more time and resources to do well if we want to use it as a decision-making tool for effectiveness of the overall program.
I guess I was under the impression that's what we were going to get with the budget, and maybe that was my misinterpretation, but I thought that's what was being worked on this year.
I think so. James, you had a question?
Yeah, just to sort of piggyback on Arlene's data question. You know, I'm fine with the big reports that's thorough and give you a lot of, but I also think tables like this does give you some information. I think the information around the national comparison and the MMSD comparison on discontinuation, I think that's good information. What I would like to see is more interim information like this, and then while you're working on a big report, just to sit back and wait on a big report every 2 years or so, sometimes that's a little bit taxing to look at those big reports. I think that we may overdo those reports sometimes. And so, I mean, it's just by looking at the trend here in discontinued, I mean, that's not very impressive. Also, we look at total participants at 185. The numbers don't add up, though, right? I mean, I'm not sure. There must be some double counting or something's going on here, because you have 82 females, 92 African Americans, and 39 Hispanics. That's like 213. You have 185 participants. So.
You have that 103 males.
So I'm not sure what that means. But what my point is that I think that, you know, I'd like to see us with more interim information that we can make and get some feel for these programs as we go along, while we're waiting on some of these major reports. And for example, you know, just mentioned READ 180 and System 44. Now here it says we had a pilot for both in 2001. So typically, at least I thought, I could be wrong, I guess, I thought we do pilots to get information so that we can determine expansion and all. So that's like, so, I mean, what did we learn from those two pilots? So we're talking about, we should have 12 years of data. I mean, if we had a pilot in 2011. So, I mean, it goes back to things we talk about a lot around here, is just not having the data. I think we have to do something about how the board gets data, and waiting for these big reports all the time. I think we should be able to get something in the interim. And, you know, what that looks like, I'm not sure. But it shouldn't have to be a huge report all the time.
Jen?
This is more of a question, and I'm not sure how appropriate it is right now, but I'll put it out there. My question is, has the board had in recent months or years, or at any time, had a clear calendar of what data reports you're getting at what time of year for decision making? Does such a calendar and process exist?
Yeah, we did have an evaluation.
It's sort of new, though. I think within the last year, I think we've been developing that.
We've been trying to head in that direction,
yeah,
maybe.
Right.
I think that's something we could certainly work on. I think it's important for the board to have timely data. I mean, it's something we can plan out a year in advance. So you know what data reports you're getting when, and you're not being overwhelmed by too much data at any one given time, and that you're getting it at the time of year when it's most relevant. So we can definitely work on that. And I think, Arlene, I want to make sure I understand your comment well, because I don't want to walk away with a different interpretation. But I thought you were saying that you wanted more analysis of the data in the report. So not necessarily just about the data itself, but you liked Lisa's, the color that Lisa provided in describing why she thinks we're getting the results that we're getting. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I agree with what James said, that we don't want to just wait for the big reports, but updates, but that are more useful. I mean, if I saw this, I'd say, let's not fund it.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to use... and Ed would say, I'll buy you lunch.
And I would say, dinner.
So what are the types of things that... What do these numbers reflect? What does it really mean? And it was helpful what you had to say, Lisa, so thank you for that.
Yeah, okay.
That did help.
So... We do need the bigger reports, and I did think we were getting something in more depth than this, but maybe that was my interpretation.
Well,
but
yeah, I mean, one thing I'd like to try to tie into are what reports is management using? Because to me, I don't feel we at the board should be trying to determine our feelings about whether Read 180 or System 44 or Reading Recovery are effective or not. What we need to look at are the assessments that are saying, are our students at where they need to be in reading? And then the administration needs to be able to support its interventions to say we are, in fact, believing these are effective. Because if you look at the scores, the things within here, whether it's MAP or WKCE, we are not being successful with our interventions. And so I guess I'd look at also what management is going to be using to see if their interventions and programs are working, and then whether that is something that the board is able to utilize as well. Beth had a question.
I have a question about page 3 under the reading recovery table. There's a paragraph that says that we've not been able to find a consistent way that students were identified as participants in the literacy interventions. And I'm just wondering when we can start getting data then to know who this is actually helping, because all these years we've been recommending programs to students, I guess based on the data that was given to us by the companies. But do we really know which students the interventions help and which they don't?
I mean, so I'll go back to when we get reports in the district. And so we give end-of-the-year reports in June. And so a report that goes out annually, and this was last year in June, was the reading recovery. And that's the, I think, more detailed information. Mm-hmm. On this report, you have all schools, and we have the discontinued rate and the number of students served. And so you have some schools that have an 83% discontinued rate at Lindbergh. That's very high. Mm-hmm. But then our district average is such that it's low because we have other schools that have a very low. And so we're looking at
why.
And so we're going to those teachers, and they're the teachers who have been in the system and who have exited kids very, you know, they're not the brand new teachers. Some of our newest schools are newly trained teachers. And so we have those conversations, and Lisa's really been working off this more detailed report. So these reports, Scholastic gives us them in Read 180 and System 44, and then we
can
get
we see
Reading
that?
Recovery.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yes,
I don't think it's in
recent.
We got it last months ago. But.
So that's the detailed, and what Andrew had wanted to do is put 4 years worth of information with some detailed, colorful information about what our yearly data is showing, as well as what a history growth is kind of showing us. We were trying to pull together a more comprehensive report using parts of this. And so this was just a preliminary. This is what we're thinking about with all the new interventions and some of the ones that we've gotten. The difference is we can't manipulate the Scholastic information because it comes from the company. But we can with our own data because we keep it also with Reading Recovery. So we can get you this report on Reading Recovery.
Okay. I still have a question about not knowing who the participants were. I guess I'm really stuck on that because it feels to me like if you don't know who the participants are, that you can have like a growth, but it doesn't really mean anything because you don't know who the student is and where they were starting or
And Beth, where were you looking at? You
I'm under reading recovery, the table with the X's on page three.
The X's, okay.
And maybe you can help me not be so worried about this paragraph. It says, research and program evaluation staff have not been able to find a consistent way that students were identified as participants in these literary interventions in prior years. As such, there are serious data concerns that make the exact measures too difficult to secure at this time. And I'm just thinking, well, then when do you start doing your data, and how are we ever going to get a report if we don't have data that means anything? I mean, I don't know. That's how I'm reading it. I'm hoping you can explain it to me.
Either you can do it already.
I think I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Level literacy intervention, the Voyagers, the reading mastery, and John, correct me if I'm right on this, those were newly implemented intervention systems this year. So we have actually just been training schools around how to effectively implement those three. So my guess is we don't have measures in place to fully really document or know who's receiving those interventions because we're still training teachers in how to best implement them.
Okay, because the way I read this, it sounded like all of the interventions, and I thought, oh, my
gosh. Oh, no,
gosh.
Yeah, we know.
I think these are the newest interventions.
Okay. Recovery.
It's
okay.
Mainly Voyager.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else read that, but maybe you could just put those three in there as the ones you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Okay, we can do
just
that.
Just to make it.
I hear what you're saying.
Okay, because mm-hmm. really the way I read that, I thought, wow, Read 180, System 44, none of them we started with. We knew who the kids were. Mm-hmm. We just kind of recommended it mm-hmm. because they might be at a certain level.
I hear you.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Okay, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have Ed and then James. Thanks. Sorry, James, when you're down there, I can't see you very well.
That's okay. Sometimes
nothing
it's good.
Nothing personal.
I just have a couple of points. One, I in terms of the one-page analyses, I think this information is helpful, but I think we could also include what the cost of the program is and the cost uh-huh, per yes. student served is, because I think, particularly with reading recovery, that would be illuminating mm-hmm. since I understand it to be such an expensive program. And I agree with Mary that it's not our role to say this is what interventions we should be using, but it is so frustrating year after year to get these disappointing results for reading recovery, and we hear, well, we're going to do it with more fidelity next year, so it'll be better, and then it isn't better, and then we get some other explanation. So that's the tension, because it isn't our job to say that, but at some point we've got to say, why are we doing this? Right. And I'm glad to hear you say that we can use the reading recovery trained folks to do different sort of interventions. Mm-hmm. My understanding was it was such a specialized program that, you know, you had to just have the first graders and have this very structured approach and 28-week or whatever it is program. But if our highly trained teachers can also just as effectively reach more students in small groups or some other way, then that, I mean, it just seems like it's so much more cost-effective. Mm-hmm. And that may be where we should be, you know, where we should be concentrating.
James?
Yeah, I have to go back to Beth's question because I wasn't clear on the answer. Evaluation staff have not been able to find a consistent way that students were identified as participants. So is that students to be placed or students in the program? I mean, that's a very important statement. What does that mean?
I actually think, I'm not sure that I'm coinciding with yours, but when we have reading recovery, there's a process in which you identify students, and it's based on a preliminary assessment. And I think the question here is that preliminary assessment being consistent across the district in identifying and placing students? I'm looking at Jane.
I'm saying I think that the confusion is in the format of the report. The chart should not be there. The chart is just showing a way that they were going to format. And
right. Yeah.
It's what Lisa said. There are some interventions that are so new that we don't have that information.
And there isn't consistency in identifying across the board.
I think that would clarify.
Hey, Jane, is it also that
I think this is, happens in a lot of school districts, that when it comes to RTI and progress monitoring practices, that the who was which students were receiving the intervention weren't actually documented well at the school level, and so it's really hard at the central office to actually track who received the intervention.
Because
that, it doesn't surprise me if in past years that was the case. Does that sound about right?
So we're not documenting who's taking the program?
Well, we should be now, and it sounds like you guys are saying that that is current state, that you have a progress monitoring system for data input specific to these new programs that is now in place, but that was did not happen in past years. Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems to me that that's very basic data compilation, that you just always keep track of who's doing. I mean, okay, I'll leave it at that.
We have the information on Read and Recover because it's a program that's been in place for a long time. It's put in Infinite Campus. Same thing with Read 180 and System 44. The new assessment that we have is Ames Web, and it's not being implemented consistently because it's new for teachers. And so we will have classroom records, and it's not put in a systematic way in Infinite Campus this current school year.
Yeah.
So that's where we're moving towards, is to making sure that as we use the Ames Web, identify kids consistently for programming, and then document the success using Voyager or Leveled Literacy, which is, this year is a training year, and what Bo was basically saying is, I don't literally have that information to do it right now, but we will have it at the end of the year because of the cycles of training that we're providing with the staff. But currently, it's not there because the year hasn't ended. And it will be the end of the year this year that will give us baseline data for the fall.
I'll make one last comment on this because I do think it's important to understand. James, I understand your frustration 1,000%. It does seem obvious that we would be capturing that data. With interventions, if we're doing them well, they're actually administered very flexibly. They're not like a class where you enroll a child in the class and they're in the class for the whole year and you get a grade at the end of the class. They should be in as needed receiving those interventions for 3 weeks, for 5 weeks, for 8 weeks. It really depends on the child and their particular need, which is why those things haven't been necessarily captured well in the past. This tool, AimsWeb, is designed so that any teacher can input that data for any period of time for whatever intervention they're providing so that we can track the results really closely, which really solves this issue. It's a very good investment, AimsWeb, so congratulations on that.
I guess, and I don't know if this fits in with what you were just saying, but it seems like it would be good to have the administration come back to us on this subject and give us a sort of a proposal on how we, what we could expect and what fits into what management will be using, and whether it's something that addresses the issue of having not more frequent, like we want to look at this every year, every month, but frequent, and then maybe broader based, interim type report, interim being every 3 years or whatever. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Okay,
we can do that.
And that would be for all the reading intervention programs. And maybe it's just one, we're doing the same for everything or whatever, but I think if you can come back with a proposal that makes sense, we'd appreciate that. And Marge, did you?
Yeah, I just do want to emphasize that 86% figure at Lindbergh is astounding.
Yes, it's 83%.
And it's something we should be proud of. And you're never going to have a program that's going to be 100% or 90% or 87%. But when you see an 86% here and an 86% here, we have some pretty good programs that can be worked. But let's figure out why they're working there. And you gave me partial answer already. One other concern, you're going to be using it in Title I schools, but we're finding out that the mobility factor in Title I schools is pretty bad. Can we use this somewhat the way we're using Mondo program? If a child in school A moves to school B and is having a reading recovery intervention, can we pick up with that student in the next school and make sure we continue that process? Maybe we'll have more success with the mobility involved.
Okay.
Okay.
Lisa.
No,
not used to this.
I'm She's on monitor. Listen to her.
I'm new at this yet, so flagging me down. There is a piece of data in this from 11-12 that addresses how many of the children that were receiving reading recovery actually moved and were picked up again at the new school.
Okay.
So that there is some data in here that will address that.
And we will send that report to you this week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, moving along.
I feel like we're on running a marathon, and we're coming down to the home stretch here. Okay. No, not yet. Okay, we are on to our benchmarks for our Building the Future plan, and this is here. I don't think we, at this time frame, want to go page by page through this. Anyone want to do it? No? Okay, well, then I think maybe we'll provide our comments. Sue, did you want to provide a lead-in on that?
I can provide a lead-in, just how the document was constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on the cover of the Building the Future plan, the four areas that we're going to be measuring progress in all of the 17 sections of this document are either through attendance, behavior, growth, or achievement. So any one of those 17 sections will have one of these areas and most likely one to four addressed. How the document is then put together is on the very next page you will see the table, and on the second column you will see the measures that we're going to be using for attendance, behavior, growth, and achievement. And so what follows these pages 2 through 17, is a report of each one of those areas. And so you'll have a comprehensive overlook of the four areas. So that's pages 2 through 17. Then that section is followed by each of the sections of the Achievement Gap Plan 1 through 17. And that is also followed by the budget. So the budget's behind that. What we will be providing to you within the next month is a mid-year, it's a little bit more than mid-year, three-quarters of the way update of where we are in the progress of each of these 17. So it would be a narrative that we put together, just a template that we, each of the authors, the people who are responsible for making a lot of this work happen, will give an update of what the progress is, the timeline of the year and which completion, various components within. And so
we have that for them now.
We have that.
It's in the packet.
Oh, it is in the packet.
But I won't go through that piece by piece.
Yeah, it's just a narrative piece within this and followed by the budget. So that's how this document is pretty much distributed. And we have action steps, objectives, and then whether or not we're using one or all four of the areas for each of these, but following those same four comprehensive measures of achievement, growth, behavior, and attendance.
Okay, one thing I'd mention, well, first of all, I want to say I thought this was great. I mean, I actually really sort of enjoyed reading and learned a lot. And so I know that everyone's put in, or a lot of people have put in a lot of work on this, and I think it was, it's really very, very helpful. One thing I had mentioned at the last meeting, and I saw a lot of things were updated, was whether we could have a table of contents.
Oh, you did ask for that. Oh. All right. We will get that in there.
And then I wondered where, because we had quite a bit of discussion around setting our goals, and then what type of regression or what type of method we were going to use to go from the current to the goal. Remember the 5-year, the 10-year, the all that sort of, or the multi-year. I just wondered, whatever, I don't see any goals here. There's not goals on, they're almost all current.
Well, let me see, let's go to page 17. So starting with the first section, I believe that would be on page 18. So we have literacy.
Oh, okay. So
the goal in literacy is to ensure that all K-12 students are reading at grade level. Then we have just a little rationale. And then there's action steps as to how to get there. And then if you look at number 1 in the table where the objectives are, It says we want to increase the proficiency above WKCE. Two, if you look at 2014, then you could see the new benchmark that we're setting as a goal for that reading goal. And we had asked, we were asked to make it more realistic because before we were using No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
And these are more realistic increments to get to the goal of success for students. So it's in the table.
Okay. Okay. I'm so sorry, I was wrong in saying so that it didn't include the objectives. I guess what I was looking at was the priority areas at first where we have, we don't include any objectives in the priorities.
Right.
And I just wondered if we had thought about that.
Well, so if you look at chapter one, I'm not sure if I'll answer your question, but
yes, the now areas I see growth once and we're achievement. In the chapters, yeah.
So we looked at areas of growth and achievement. So we shared what we were thinking about in the area of objectives and getting to our target for 2000, you know, up to 2020. And then the pages that follow show where we currently are. If it's baseline, it will just be current. And if we have a history where we can give 3 years of information, will show a trend of pattern over time. So if you look on page 19, this starts the literacy section. So this is WKCE in reading. This is what right. the new NAEPI scores. So we started with year one. And then we have eighth grade reading, which follows that. And then we move on to the next page, and we're looking at ACT. So this is information over time.
Okay, so I'm looking at page 36. And I don't mean to, I just want to understand our format
important.
Here. If I'm on page 36 and we have chapter 2, number 9, ACT, and is there a goal there that I'm missing?
If I believe where we were with ACT, we hadn't set a goal. We had a lot of conversation around this because
okay.
this is the very first year where all of our students will be doing ACT.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
okay.
this will be our baseline year.
Okay.
So we gave you previous years, but
yeah.
we're going to, at the end of the year, look at where we are to determine where we should set those goals for the future.
Okay. That's very helpful.
It might be on some sections, like on page 40, you put TBD. Maybe it would be helpful for the ones that we don't have
yes.
goals to put the TBD.
Okay.
Would
we
that be
that.
Clearer, Mary?
Yes.
That would for yes. Thanks.
We can do that.
They did it here.
Yeah. That would be great. And then on page 5. Because I think, I guess the reason I am going through specifics here is because you did want this to go to the board with
yes.
approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was just, I wondered why under, it looks like the table that goes Blackhawk, O'Keefe, Sherman, that those aren't the chronic absentee numbers, those are the attendance numbers.
Yes, you're right. That's what it even says in the narrative.
I'll look
at this piece.
I just have one more
mm-hmm.
and then and that's on page 65. And I wondered about the use of WKCEs under our proficiency. WKCEs under family engagement as a metric.
We actually went round and round about whether or not to include this in. And we had thought that if we really do a good job in helping parents have voice in their children's education, and if we really implement Parent University, which is about that also, and providing modules of learning, that the end result is that we should see an increase of student achievement. And that was the rationale for putting mm-hmm. that. But we did debate it. And so did the department, who's responsible.
Okay. I think in other areas we do have the, we have out of school suspensions here, but we have other places the in school
ones as well. Sometimes I guess the one I just have such an issue with WKCE that it's hard for me to think it's a good benchmark for many things, much less family engagement. And I just wonder if there are the in-school suspensions. I like the attendance. Some of the things that might be more behavioral oriented, but that's
we
a
know
small
that
Carmen.
I think the reason why we went with out-of-school suspension is we know that that's documented well because we have to follow it through, where in-school suspension is not documented as closely because of the infinite campus and the age level of students. So an in-school suspension may be a half a day suspension for a child that in first grade might not, that's probably not, maybe an hour. That's kind of called an in-school
What about
suspension.
The behavioral referrals? Maybe that's what I, and I'll tell you, I was just amazed, like, looking and seeing how Sherman has just, you know, has the lowest rate of any middle school. I just thought it was really impressive on that.
What we found about putting information in Infinite Campus is it's inconsistent across the district, and
yeah.
so it's not as reliable, which is why we went with out-of-school suspensions. And sometimes it has to do with philosophy. Sometimes it has to do with a management system
yeah.
in the building. But we do find inconsistencies across. Some schools, they're really good at putting every single referral in because they're documenting it, and then they don't look that great when they've really made some great gains through their data analysis and planning and putting new systems in place. Other schools, they may not have that system in place, and so they might look better, but it might be comparable to the other school.
So I shouldn't put too much, I shouldn't feel too good about this.
I mean, you couldn't have a strong staff and principal as an explanation?
Well,
that couldn't
can.
Be?
You
I mean, we may
can.
Be doing some right in that school.
That's right, and you can have huge variability between all of the schools. And so we went with out of school because we know it's documented more finitely, and it's something that we could say,
right.
this is the real data.
Look, I got a kid in that school, so I'm going to stay out of that one.
We've got a lot of schools that are making great progress when it comes to behavior. And PBIS is a really good program that's helping us get there. So we can maybe have some more discussion about whether or not WKCE is the right piece to be putting in here.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be ACT in the future. We wanted to put something academic, and we're very open to putting in what the board would prefer.
Is that the whole suite of EPAS tests or just the ACT scores?
It's this was looking at just the ACT,
okay.
but we do have the whole suite in this
yeah.
in the beginning chapters.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Mary.
Oh, no problem. No, it was a good question. Okay, well, are there any other comments or questions? No? Okay, well then, I think that was actually a whether we want a decision item here on whether we want to move this to the board for approval.
We could add the table of contents and a couple of the changes that you've asked for us to make today and bring it for the in front of the board at the end of the month with those changes.
I'd make that motion.
Can I say something?
Sure.
My God, I am on the committee. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There were charts, and then there were charts. And I come from a strong English background. I would like to see, in words, written summaries to all of this and not just charts. Mm-hmm. Our public is not going to read this. We know that. Our parents are not going to read this, but they will read the written word. Here is what we have. Here's the situation. Where do we go to? Where do we want to end up? And I'm sorry if we have 4,221 bar graphs, but I would like to see a written summary for those before I vote.
Marge, I just don't think that's what we that I'm not saying that's what isn't needed for another purpose, but this particular document, which we have now had in some form for about six straight meetings, and I haven't heard this comment, is that these are just benchmarks for this board to be able to use and to see
data on key measures around the achievement gap to just say, hey, how are we doing as a district? It's not meant to give us anything more than some benchmarks to be able to say, hey, are we headed in the right direction? And I think when that report is done each year, there can be the narrative around that to say what are these key findings. But this just lays out a framework for, yes, the data. It doesn't include the narrative, but the narrative, I think, comes when you give the updates each year. And I have a little bit of concern that the updates will be 5 months after the end of the school year. But I think that this does provide the framework that we were asking for specifically in the budget amendment with regards to metrics, not with regards to narrative, but with regards to the metrics.
Yeah, let me reply to that. I believe I did ask continuously for an explanation under each graph that we were ever given. I did ask for that. I have continuously asked for
that. What sort of an explanation?
I want them to say in words, not in a bar graph, but in what does the bar graph represent, what does it mean? And that's all I'm asking for. But I'm obviously not going to get that now, so that's okay. But if you're not going to have the wording now, then in the summary, what does it mean to have something in a summary 5 months from now? So you love these. I know you do. You thrive on these bar graphs. I'm one of those people that doesn't. I like to see it in words. It means more to me in words. That's all.
Doesn't have to be. Yeah, I don't care. That's how I would prefer. That's all.
If we look at tab 6, there's the narrative that Steve was talking about that I thought it was behind tab 5. But that's the update in narrative form that's in table form that talks about what is the strategy that we're using, then the activities implemented year to date, the challenges of implementing this strategy, and then the future recommendations. And that just kind of is an integration of narrative as well as the bar graphs that
and
I previously showed.
Each of the documents has an author that is responsible for writing it. So that's just the format. At some other point, we'll come back to you with the narrative. This is the kind of the initial update of it.
I think the ultimate thought is that those two would be merged. Mm-hmm. That you would have the data, then you would have the description, the narrative description of what had taken place.
And then the budget following it.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No, just abstained.
Abstained, so 2-0-1. Our last agenda item then is the sports.
Can we talk about this narrative for a minute?
Pardon?
We do have the written narrative.
Yeah.
I had a question about that, if I could.
Oh.
I thought we were going to move on to that.
I thought that was part of the same discussion item.
I'll ask them real quickly.
That'd be great.
I have two questions, actually. The first one is on page 26, and it is about the Grow Our Own program, community member to teacher. And the challenges say eliminating public funds from this program will improve the ability to select diverse candidates. I just didn't understand what point that was trying to make. So you don't, I mean, maybe you can answer it now or answer it later. But.
I'll give you the big picture now, and then I'll try to be more specific. It was modeled after a program in Janesville where they use public funds to target very specifically recruiting staff of color. And we couldn't use public funds to have that narrow a target in our recruitment. Right. And so that's kind of the big picture. I will get Bob to write.
Janesville could?
No, in the end, they used private funds.
Oh,
they had a private corporation who had money who would allow them to recruit and target specifically.
Okay.
And so it was that separation of private to public funds.
Okay. And thank you. And then on page 3, we were talking about aligning to the Common Core. And I must have been mistaken, but I thought our goal was to be implementing that in the next school year. But I see here it says teachers will be introduced to this during 2013-2014, and then the expectation is that they will do it in 2014-2015. So that's inconsistent with what I had thought. But
I'm going to bring the author up.
This is secondary. Yeah, Lisa's going to come and talk to us about that. This is referring to secondary where we're building curriculum companion.
Right.
We'll have parts of it available in the very beginning of the school year. Right. And then we have to do training for staff. So it will be available. They could use it, but the training needs to follow. I'll turn it to Lisa.
Okay. I don't need a big explanation, but the idea is that it won't be,
it will be
required or it will or?
The hard and fast, every teacher September 1 is somewhat unrealistic. And we will be using Curriculum Companion, as Sue mentioned, creating the core curriculum yet this spring and into the summer. And it will be in all the buildings, in teachers' hands, and available. And the expectation is that it will begin to be implemented. Implemented meaning that teacher teams will be discussing, be working at it, modeling their lessons with that. And it is a year in which the Common Core is an expectation. The Curriculum Companion materials will be ready, and teachers will begin to use it. By the end of that year and the beginning of 2014-15, it is a hard expectation. That's what the curriculum will look like. So it is a softer rollout, because we needed to be very clear about what the expectation of implementation means, given that the materials will be available by the end of this year and into the summer.
We had this discussion today, and I had some of the same kinds of questions. I think the issue, and there's a lot more to for me to understand related to the secondary literacy strategy, but Ed, the plan as it exists is that the units of study and everything that goes into a year-long series of units of study for secondary literacy will be ready to go by the fall, along with professional development for teachers. But because the units of study, we're not buying them off the shelf. They haven't been implemented anywhere else. Our own teacher leaders are creating them with our support. They will have never been implemented anywhere before. So I think the team's thinking is that we're going to put these new tools and resources in the hands of teachers. They know that the expectation is that the Common Core state standards need to be addressed in every school, but that we need to work out the kinks over this next school year. And we're going to be learning with our teachers about the units of study, and I would assume making adjustments to them as we go along based on what we learn with them. This is a much better approach, I think, than doing a pilot, because we could do a subgroup of teachers and ask for them to give us feedback. I like the idea that we do a district-wide implementation of the new units of study, but we're going to, I think, be really upfront about the fact that they're not going to be perfect. They may be perfect, but we won't know it until we get out there and start implementing them with teachers, and teachers are going to give us some valuable feedback. Does that make sense? So we are implementing.
Well, right. I think it does, but is the expectation then that all teachers will be using it in a, you know, on a experimental basis or a prototype basis or however you describe it next year? Or is it, will it be up to the teachers to decide whether or not to do it?
I believe the expectation is that they begin to use it starting September 1. And what that looks like is that, as Dr. Cheatham is describing, the day-to-day lesson planning needs to come alive in that teacher team. And the units of study, the materials, the teaching points, the goals are laid out, but they need to be able to understand it, to begin to transform their teaching to the Common Core. And that is not something that they're going to simply just have a book and open it up. That's exactly what is in conversation right now. We want this balance of having teacher ownership, flexibility to meet the needs of the students with a framework that is solid. They'll have that solid framework around the units of study beginning at the beginning of the year. And it is our hope that the expectation is very clear, that you begin using this in your team planning and in your professional learning, and make sure that the advantage of this year of learning firms up the ability to teach it well beginning in 14-15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Then we will go on to our last item, which is our approval to participate in the WIAA competition on a Sunday.
Thank you. I come before you with a pretty straightforward request tonight. There's a historical tournament, hockey tournament, that's taken place over the last several years involving West High School as the host, also some of our other high schools. And due to the winter holidays this year, the tournament, because of its size, it's necessary that they utilize a Sunday or risk not being able to have the tournament here in Madison. So I, at the request of Mr. Lipp, the athletic director at West High School, and looking at the WA bylaws, Section 5.